Last week on Licensed to Parent, we aired part one of an interview originally aired last fall. We had mentioned that interview a couple of weeks ago and decided to air it again to bring you some hope and encouragement. Considering the current condition of America's youth, the church, and the family today, the question arose, and we continue with it today, is there hope for America's future? Our conversation features a teenager from Shepherd's Hill Academy that's been given a second chance at a better future for herself and a better vision for the future. So stay tuned for part two of our conversation with Kelsey and her counselor, Sarah, on Licensed to Parent. Well, welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia. Shepherd's Hill is a residential program for troubled teens. And our host, as always, is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill. And I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, it seems like we had just gotten started, which so often happens on this program, when we were out of time and we were talking with Kelsey and with Sarah. Kelsey is a student here at Shepherd's Hill, and Sarah is on residential staff here. So they've been working together over the past 7 months, and we've been hearing a lot of Kelsey's story about what it's like in the trenches, for lack of a better word, but I guess literally as well, because they live in the woods in the trenches here at Shepherd's Hill. But getting her story, and it's been such a treat to have these ladies with us. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, ladies. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Kelsey, I wanted to start off asking you about the primitive living conditions in the woods. I know we talked about that a little bit last time, but I know that technology is so so much a part of your generation. You were born into it. You're what's called a digital native. I'm a digital immigrant. I'm still learning. You know, I'm heading in that direction. What's it like for a year for someone your age to not have the internet, social media, Facebook? Describe what that's like, and do you see things from a different perspective now that you've not had those things for a while?
Surprisingly, it hasn't been that hard for me to be without the technology that I thought I couldn't live without. I've been able to build real relationships that aren't done over the phone or over the computer, where you can pretty much make yourself look like anything that you want to, and vice versa. And so the relationships are very on the surface, but now I've realized what it's like to be able to be real with people.
How do you value, and what is your perspective on truth, about life, about reality, about God, about friendships, relationships, about your parents? Because last time we talked about the difference between a postmodern worldview and a biblical worldview. And truth, you know, is in both of those worldviews, but it's looked at totally different, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I actually came here with the mindset that I wasn't going to be brainwashed. But then after getting here, I was really brought to this place of what felt like rock bottom. And I distinctly remember one day I was sitting at my desk and I was just crying. And I finally said, you know, God, if you're there, show me, because I can't do this anymore. And I literally felt the God of the universe hug me. And it was the most incredible, life-changing moment of my life. And it showed me that He is there and He is real, and He's revealed Himself to me in so many ways since getting here. He's answered so many prayers. He's done the impossible in my life.
Well, that's right where God takes over, isn't it? When we come to the end of ourselves and the end of what is possible, that's the God we serve. Well, you know, you're a teenager. I've been a teenager. You know, the fact that boys and girls have zero interaction here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that it has been a very good thing in my healing process, because...
And why so?
Well, when boys and girls are together, they are more focused on impressing one another rather than working on their issues. And I feel like if the programs weren't separate, then we would have enabled one another.
Well, I just want to ask real quick, Kelsey, we haven't discussed this. Would you mind telling us how old you are?
17.
Wow. Okay. So this came from a 17-year-old's mouth.
Yeah.
When I went to junior high school, that would be 7th and 8th grade, whatever years those are, 13, 14, something like that.
For me, it was 18.
Okay. In my school, the genders were separated. Mm. The boys went to the boys' junior high and the girls went to the girls' junior high for the very reason that you mentioned. And at least at that age, developmentally, you're going through so much and the waters really would have been muddied.
Yep.
But you, as a much more mature young lady, as a 17-year-old, you can see that there's benefit in that separation, setting yourself apart for a time to get your life straight and not worry about confusion.
Yes, sir.
That's excellent.
You know, in California now, they're allowing as young as 6-year-olds to determine even what gender they are, and going to the same restroom facilities and things like that. I mean, this is the logical outworking of a postmodern worldview, the worldview that we've all been brainwashed to some extent, your generation far more than mine. You know, you were born into it. I grew into it. I remember, and Rich, you remember when we lived in a nation that just had some common sense. I mean, we all pretty much knew what right and wrong was, whether you were a believer or not a believer. But today, you kind of have to undo what the Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and Jersey Shore and the like is doing to the minds of these kids.
I'd like to point out that here at Shepherd's Hill, you don't get to choose which camp you go into.
That's right. That's right.
That is assigned when you arrive.
Yep. Kels, what would you say to parents and their kids who don't think they could ever survive without digital technology for a year?
I would say that they definitely can survive. There are so many things that you can do without needing technology. You could spend time together as a family doing fun things like going on a waterfall hike. We did that this summer, and it was so much fun. We've had things like barn dances and stuff like that, which most people wouldn't think of as being really fun, but that kind of stuff is really awesome.
There's a million and one things that God has given us to enjoy life with, isn't there? I say that quite often, and it seems like MTV and VH1 and BET and Hollywood, Madison Avenue are pumping into us. If it's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you're not really living. Hmm. And I think that we've bought that lie. Have you noticed any greater clarity in your thinking skills as a result of not being tied to a lot of digital technology? I know a lot of kids have come here in the past have said that it's been a stress reliever not to have to go check my email, my Facebook, keep up with, this and that and the other. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Before coming here, I felt like I always had to be on technology because I didn't know what someone might post out there and or what kind of pictures might be put out there or anything like that. And I needed to make sure that there was nothing to be worried about.
Mm-hmm. Wow. By the way, the Billy Graham Evangelical Association has a retreat center called The Cove. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever been up there or not, but when you go there, they have no phones in the rooms. There's no internet. Mm-hmm. There's, it's a bit more lavish than it is here at Shepherd's Hill, but it takes this same approach. And it's interesting. You were saying that you felt the need to go online. It wasn't so much that you were feeling the need to go online just to keep up with your friends, but you felt that you had to police what might be said about you.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what could go out there. I can say that I didn't know who half my friends were at the time. And really, the friendships that I had were so fake that you really couldn't trust anyone.
Mm. Wow. Let me ask you, do you care now? And that's a real question. I mean, do you sometimes go, gee, I wonder what they are saying about me? Or does that matter anymore? Or how are you dealing with it?
I think at first it was really hard because I did wonder what they thought. But as time has passed, I've so far removed them from my life that they don't really matter to me anymore. I hope that one day they can be blessed enough to be able to get their lives on track. But as for me, they're not a part of my life anymore.
Hmm. Kels, what are some things your parents have learned during their stay here at Shepherd's Hill?
they have learned that God can do the impossible. He redeemed a situation that all of us viewed as completely impossible to do. They have learned how to forgive. They've learned to work on their marriage, and they've learned to really look back on things that they've struggled with and fix those while I'm here. So while I'm healing, they're healing.
Awesome.
And when we come together, it's going to be incredible.
That's awesome. I bet you're anxiously waiting for that day, aren't you?
I'm very excited.
You had a chance to be with them. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But well, overall, where do you think parents are going wrong the most as they raise their kids today?
I think that they need to be more involved in their children's life. They definitely need to monitor what their children are doing.
Good point.
Especially on their technology. I've noticed with so many kids, they're absolutely terrified for their parent to pick up their phone and read through their messages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they have their parents so fooled. And I believe that if parents did monitor things, they could step in before things got worse.
Sure.
And I know that's what happened in my life. My parents looked through my technology and they saw, oh my goodness,
yeah,
we need to fix this.
Sure.
Well, Kelsey, I know that one of the things that I'm sure you are proud of, and we are extremely proud for you here at Shepherd's Hill, is that you recently won a national award. And we want to find out more about that, but this is the cliffhanger, if you will. We're going to do that after the break. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with your host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel. Our guests are Kelsey and Sarah. Kelsey is a student here at Shepherd's Hill, and Sarah is part of the resident staff here, and we are getting the story from the inside today about teen life here at Shepherd's Hill Academy. We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to Licensed to Parent. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
This is Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and on today's program, our guests once again for the second week in a row are Kelsey and Sarah. Kelsey, a student here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and Sarah is part of the resident staff here and has been working closely with Kelsey for the past 7 months or so. And Kelsey, we talked just before the break about something really cool that happened, and that is you not only received an award, but you received a national award for something you did here. Now, there are a lot of things one could do here. What's the award for?
I actually wrote an essay and sent it in to our state legislators, and they pick from all the girls and boys from their state to see which ones they're going to send up. And they usually either send a girl and a boy, or they just send one or the other. And so while I was here, one of my teachers encouraged me to submit that. And I didn't really think I was going to get it, but I thought I'd give it a shot. And then soon after, I got a letter saying that I had won the award to go to the Leadership Institute in Washington, D.C.
One of only 40 kids across the country. And this is the third straight year that a kid from Shepherd's Hill has won that.
Wow. Okay. So you were going, at that point, you were going up representing Georgia, or had you been picked as the top dog, or what, where, what was the standing at that point when they said you were coming up to Washington?
I was going as a representative for Georgia.
Very cool. Very cool. And so you went to DC?
Yes, sir.
And met Abraham Lincoln, or what happened in DC?
Well, I got to learn about how the Senate works. We actually held our own mock Senate, and we each represented a senator.
Who'd you represent, by the way?
I was Senator Whitehouse from Rhode Island.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. And we took tours around, of course, and we also actually got to go into the Senate, and we saw Congress in session, which was really cool. I saw both the House and the Senate voting.
At any point, did you yell, "I object," or anything like that?
No, sir.
Probably just as well.
And I actually got to go meet with, the Senate was in session, so I didn't get to meet with my senator in particular, but I did get to meet and talk to some of his staffers, which was an awesome experience. I learned a lot about how they got to where they were and about the beliefs of the different senators. And
is that something you'd ever want to do? Would you ever want to work for a senator or a representative?
I would love that. I absolutely adored being in D.C. I just thought it was a really, really cool experience. And I actually talked to one of the staffers about how he got to where he was. And he gave me his card and told me about applying for an internship at the Atlanta office, and then once I'm 21, attempt to transfer up to D.C. and be an intern there. And then he said that through that, he ended up getting his position as a staffer.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And I was about to say, and she could do that. I mean, it's...
Sure she could.
And I don't know if you would ever have imagined yourself doing that a year ago.
Never.
But that, I'm seeing here a young lady who a moment ago sort of had the pessimistic, well, I didn't ever think I'd win. But at the same time she was saying that, I could see this kind of sparkle in her eye, like, but I'm going to give it a try.
Sure.
And you have got the world open to you now, and you've even got a business card from somebody saying, here's how to do it. So that's great.
Well, you know, she was there with 39 other kids who came from prestigious Christian schools. I mean, these were, she came from Shepherd's Hill, which is, you know, she had to fight through the stuff that she fought through character-wise and spiritually to even get to sea level, and then goes on and wins this award representing Georgia. And so when you went there, you were dealing with 39 other kids who had some pretty good character to them. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. It was like nothing I had ever experienced in my life. I didn't know that kids like that existed, but they were all so respectful, and we had so much fun, but it was pure, clean fun.
Yeah.
And you are 100% one of them.
That's right.
They would say the same thing about
that's
you
exactly
when talking
right
about the other 39 kids there. Mm. And that's cool. Again, you may not have seen yourself in that seat a year ago.
No, sir. I definitely
that's
wouldn't.
Cool.
And the guys in particular really stood out to me. They were gentlemen, which I didn't know existed anymore. As soon as a girl walked in the door, they would immediately stand up and offer their seat. Or the first night when we were getting ready to go to dinner, they just kind of said, okay, everyone, go to dinner. And all the guys sat and waited for all the girls to get up and get their food first.
How'd they make you feel?
Respected and valued.
Absolutely. I hope parents, you're listening to this. Mm. I hope that you're taking some counsel from this and just seeing how far off the mark we have been as a church. What did you think about all the references to God and our Creator and the marble and the granite and the paintings and the Capitol Rotunda? And what does that tell you about how America looks at separation of church and state? When you see that, you know, these references in the, maybe the Jefferson Memorial or, like I said, the Capitol Rotunda. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any separation of church and state there. And I know your public school system has pretty much brainwashed all your generation into believing that the Christians are to keep their noses out of government, but it's never been that way until recently. Your thoughts on all that?
I believe that our country was founded on biblical principles, which you can see if Absolutely. You walk through the streets of Washington, D.C. And I believe that that's why we were so successful at the beginning mm-hmm. and we grew so fast. And I also believe that now, as we've gone away from those principles, that is why our country is suffering the way that it is.
Mm. Well, you know, back in the 1800s, there was a guy named Alexis de Tocqueville that was sent here by his country of France, because France had gone through all these different governmental changes. America had won. America was strong. And France wanted to find out what made us tick. Why were we so powerful so early in our existence? And when Alexis de Tocqueville went through the nation, he went back to France and reported that America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. What do you now feel is America's greatest hope for regaining our status as a great nation?
I believe that our only hope is that good people will rise up and make our nation a good nation again. Mm.
I do have a question. I know that one thing that may have been a little strange for you, having been at Shepherd's Hill for a while when you won this, is you traveled to D.C. with your parents.
Yes, sir.
Was that the first time you had spent much time with them since coming here?
Yes, sir. That was the first week that I had spent with them in 5 months. And it was so incredible to see how far that we had come in just those 5 months. Mm. We used to not be able to spend a day together getting along, but we spent an entire week where we enjoyed each other's company so much, and I was able to respect them and submit to their authority and still be happy.
Mm. Sarah, I know that we haven't even talked to you on this program, I don't think, but Sarah is, again, one of the resident staff here, and she works with Kelsey. Was there any preparation that you and Kelsey had to go through for that reuniting with the family?
Well, I believe their whole stay here, we're prepping them, you know, to go home, and especially at the end of the stay, it's all about getting ready to be able to go home and to have not just a week of respect and fun together, but to, you know, continue that on for years. And so Kelsey started out only riding her parents and then has slowly been able to spend one day with them and then a whole weekend with them. And so the whole week was longer than any previous weekend, any other previous length of time. However, we have been working with her and working with her family to build up to a time where she will be able to go home. And so that was Kelsey being able to go to D.C. with her parents. That was a time that she had a longer time than most students because she won that. But also it had fell in line with her preparation.
That's great. That's great. And one thing that you just mentioned that we've never really touched on is the fact that not only at Shepherd's Hill are you working with the students, but you're working with the families also, just
yes.
not in the same location.
Right.
Yes, we have therapists that work with the families, and they do counseling sessions together with the families. Shepherd's Hill is not just about fixing the child, but we want to bring families back together and, you know, facilitate healing in families as well.
I think it's important to know too, Rich, that this therapy is biblically grounded. I mean, if it violates scripture, we're siding with scripture.
Right. Well, and that's the way it has to be. There's, you know, the old expression that it takes two to tango. Well, in this case, it's not all the child for all the parents. It is that that melding of the family together to make things work.
And I've never, in all the years I've been here...
ever tangoed.
I've never seen a situation where there wasn't some work to do, you know, with
right.
mom and dad.
Sure. We've only got a few moments left, and so we sort of need to bring this in for a landing. But as you face the end of your time here, Kelsey, what would you think is maybe the most important thing that you've learned at Shepherd's Hill that you would want others even to walk away with as you walk away with it? What's this? Is there a single thing? And if so, what would it be?
I've learned to trust God. Regardless of your circumstances, He has a hand in your life, and it is for the better. You know, coming here, I thought that this is the end of the road for me, but really it has been a new beginning, and I've been so blessed through it.
Wow, she should be a writer.
I'll say.
That's really good.
I know. It's why I haven't said anything. She hasn't handled.
Okay. Well, I was about to say, there was one other thing we talked about in the break, Trace, that I would love to hear. You've been stripped away of a number of privileges while you've been here. I know electronics being one of them, communication with past friends and whatnot. What is the one thing you are most looking forward to in a few months when you leave here?
I'd like to guess. I believe it might be something with food.
Well, as much as I do love food, and I'm so, so, so excited to eat all the food I want when I get home and possibly get a few of Mr. Kenny's recipes.
Mr. Kenny's our chef, by the way.
I think the one thing that I'm most excited about with getting home is just getting to be with my family and have a good relationship with them and have awesome family get-togethers and be a good sister to my little sister, a good example for her. Be a good daughter to my parents, show them what it's like to have a child that respects them and loves them, and build Christ-like relationships with those around me. Mm.
And what I'm looking forward to hearing about is with that new attitude toward life, that God brings you a young man that is congruent with everything you saw in Washington, D.C., so that you can go on and perpetuate this biblical worldview to your kids and change this world, because this is what it's going to take for your kids to grow up in a place that is better than you've grown up in. So I'm encouraged by all that.
That's true. The program is Licensed to Parent. We're so delighted that you've taken time to join us today. If you missed our last program, which was part one of this conversation, I would encourage you to visit our website at licensedtoparent.org. There you'll find our program archives where you can hear all of our past programs, and you'll also find some other great parenting resources, including our blog and opportunities to connect with us via Facebook and Twitter. Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia. To find out more and join us in supporting this ongoing ministry, again, we invite you to visit us online at licensedtoparent.org. Just click on the donate link to find out how you can become one of our financial partners. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossel. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next time for Licensed to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.